Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
Gender equality in the sciences.
Most people ran headlong into it in looking at...
Is this about that dude?
Nobel laureate Tim Hunt. Biochemistry was awarded the Nobel Prize.
He's a knight.
Physiology and is he a knight? Is he a sir?
He's Sir Tim Hunt, yeah.
Is he? I'm looking at the New York Times article. The second follow-up one on that.
British biochemist Sir Tim Hunt has been accused of sexism after calling for segregated science labs. Did he really do that?
Yeah, he did. And I think a lot of people, women specifically, but people in general, checked their watch and said, oh my God, it's the 21st century. And I don't want to make light of it, but I will say this. I am impressed by a lot of women who are taking to Twitter and joking about it.
What are the jokes?
Well, they're just sort of doing sexy science poses. I saw something about a woman in Africa.
Oh, God, what is a sexy science
pose?
Well,
no, they were being sarcastic.
Is this the kind of stuff
clever.
You do in the lab, Pete, when you're alone?
No, I do this in general.
Have you ever had sex in the lab?
No.
Why not?
I think I'd remember that. Well, I'll tell you, OSHA rules and material safety data sheets for two things. Here's corrosive chemicals in there.
Here's an advantage that computer science, say, has over many of the physical
sciences.
Well,
I do computational work, so my current lab is just way too hot because of all the computers in it, so it'd be horribly uncomfortable.
The only real problem with a computer lab is that you might look up and discover that there's a webcam pointed at you.
That would be bad.
And then you have to track down the cord and see if it's plugged in to a computer or not.
But, I mean, does anyone really want to watch an out-of-shape, bald, middle-aged guy do it in the computer lab? I don't think so.
You know, whatever it is that you're thinking of, there's someone who gets off on it.
Probably. And that is simply the nature of biology, so I'm not going to apologize for that. I think that's what makes it difficult, is that people like to make jokes about things that surprise you. In fact, this short-term cognitive... response that's responsible for surprise is an
short-term
inherent term
cognitive response.
We will talk about Albert Lee's new theory of humor one of these days. Because if you think about
You've
it,
mentioned
talk about
Albert Lee.
So talk about an overlap between science and the humanities. Actually, I believe his name is Bo Young Lee, but he goes by Albert. That's the Americanized version of his name.
Because we refuse cultural.
I actually call him by his normal first name, and I'm like, it's all cool, dude. Did you ever take a language in high school?
I did.
What was the language?
Spanish.
Did you have a Spanishized? Is that what I'm saying?
Well, Charlie is Carlos.
Oh, so you said Carlos.
Yeah,
so I would be Peter auf Deutsch. But I picked Wolfgang, weil es sehr interessant ist. It's interesting. It's unusual.
That's terrible Spanish.
That is terrible Spanish. Although, I will say this, that for the first several years of me speaking German, I spoke it with a Spanish accent without even knowing it. German teacher at MIT said, you know, you kind of trill your R's. I mean, they should be deeper.
A French woman taught me Spanish at least 1 year of high school, so I had Spanish with a French accent.
Ooh. Sounds like a movie.
Pete, this
Coming
is like
this
an
fall,
unbroken
Spanish
ring.
Look,
unbroken
I'm drinking
of,
some water.
Of
care.
Mouth noises and from you.
Come for the interesting dialogue, stay for the mouth noises.
So Tim Hunt.
Yeah, he was giving a speech, I think it was actually in South Korea, where he said, let me tell you about my trouble with girls. Three things happen when they're in the lab. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry. Let's take these three criticisms in order.
Jesus, do we have to? Okay. All right. How old is he?
He's 72.
So when he was 25...
The Earth's crust was still cooling.
Basically, 50 years ago is when he was a young man who was making decisions about how the world works. And 50 years ago was now... What the hell was that? 15?
But see, being a comedian, I get to tell the truth.
I'm doing the math.
He's doing that.
65-ish.
Okay.
1965. My God, Mad Men was right.
Yeah, it was. Whenever I watch Mad Men with my daughter, she says, was it really like that? I'm like, yes, it was.
You know, watching Game of Thrones these days, No spoilers.
That's a little further back than I go.
But it's not even true, right? That's the thing. It's like it is completely fictional. It's not even the medieval world plus, right?
Right.
But one thing that hit me recently is that it is the patriarchy, capital P conceptual patriarchy taken to a
extreme.
Not even an extreme. Taken to a sort of a core. You know, there is nothing but patriarchy in mm-hmm. Game of Thrones. There are people
I don't really
who
watch it, so
act against it. Yeah, yeah. People who act against it. But there's not. That is how that world is run. And it's a really good, not interrogation. Wow, my word just jumped out of my head.
What drugs are you on, and did you bring enough for the rest of us?
I did not, actually. Maybe I still have some Percocet running through me. Game of Thrones shows you just how bad patriarchy is for everyone, including the patriarchs.
Ooh, I couldn't agree more.
I'm just saying.
Because it was first pointed out to me that the reason you want diversity, the reason you want equality among genders, races, demographic groups, the reason you want transparency was pointed out to me by, I believe, an NSF advanced professor, right? The advanced program is actually mentioned in a lot of the reports I've been reading this morning about gender inequality in the sciences. This is a National Science Foundation program where they were trying to promote equalities in the technical fields like science and engineering. Mary Frank Fox was on my show with the other co-directors.
She's a Georgia Tech professor.
Yeah. Other co-directors of Women, Science, and Technology. That would be Carol Colatrella and Marilyn Ralph. And she said the reason you want this openness and transparency and equality is not just for the affected demographic, but for other people that are part of the patriarchal demographic. That would be me, middle-aged.
Are you a patriarch?
No, I'm not. And that's the point we made is many of us are outside the inner sanctum of influence, right? Because I'm the guy that makes wisecracks and points out the truth and absurdity of things via humor. I am not on the inside track. So I am marginalized as well, not to the degree that women are, because at least when they first look at me, they say, well, he's kind of looks like Dick Cheney. He's probably all right. I mean, I really believe people think that. And then I open my mouth and I'm like, well, that sounds like a load of crap. And they're like, uh-oh, put him on the list. So I think it's a good thing. I couldn't agree with you more. But what's interesting is I had a bad experience, actually.
Does this have to do with Tim Hunt, or should we go through his three things?
Well, okay, you're right. Let's finish his three. It does have to do with his three things, but actually I'm going to make fun of his three things at Rocky Mountain Comedy on the back patio of Rocky Mountain Pizza.
So read the three things again. What is Sir Tim Hunt says?
He said the problem with girls is when they're in the lab is that you fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry. Let's take the first two as a group because I think they're complementary to each other. Well, duh. That's absolutely true, right? You bring women in the lab, and then suddenly there are romantic complications. But here's the deal.
Okay, whoa. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah. See, you're misinterpreting my intention.
I am not, because here's what I'm about to say.
What?
Pete, what about the gay men?
Oh, same thing, right?
Pete,
you bring gay guys
people
in the lab, then there's all sorts of
and
stuff.
To say you fall in love with someone and to be like, yeah, when you bring girls into the mix of men, they fall in love with each other. You know, I am not making a joke. There are men that I love. It's just true.
God, I can only hope I'm one of them.
Peter, not here in front of everyone. No, but there are men I love. I have fallen in love with men, and it's not a sexual thing
right.
for me. I don't think it is for them.
Right.
But, you know, that kind of...
Because as far as your wife has told me, you are still heterosexual.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I am now marriage sexual.
What does that mean?
That means just whenever we can and no promises.
Yeah, I think. But everyone who's married knows
or married
that.
With kids sexual, I guess.
Because kids are the world's best birth control.
Boy, are they. But emotional complications. Love for a person, right, which does make things harder. You know, there are many of my coworkers that I don't have any sort of emotional mm-hmm. investment in, and I can work with them or not work with them, and that's totally fine. But if you love somebody, if you feel better when they're around, worse when they're not, if you want them to be happy, if you would actually put yourself out for them to have a better life, mm-hmm. that's going to complicate things.
Right.
And it doesn't have to do with whether you want to fuck somebody.
Right, but I think it gets a little more complicated when you bring sexuality into it.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm just saying, like that.
But here's what I'm saying.
If you say, yeah, but of course, it's like, no, now he's talking about a very specific thing.
He's speaking to it from the perspective of back when it was all men in the lab, or predominantly men. And you can't even bring in the homosexual angle because...
All upright citizens
who would never...
Yeah,
because if you happen to be a gay guy who had a crush on some other guy...
You just stayed out of it.
They were openly gay. Two of my friends, one of them I'm a very good friends with, were openly gay when I was in graduate school. But back when Tim Hunt was young... That was in the late 80s. When Tim Hunt was young, that was never an issue. And I'll say it. It was to the point where my good friend was in the research group of my roommate, who was another good friend of mine. We'd go out to bars after working. You know, so on Friday night, we go, hey, let's go out. So, you know, we'd like to go to different places. You know, some places that, you know, either had good stuff to drink or good stuff to eat. And we would rotate. So we'd let people pick. So one day, we let our friend of ours, who was openly gay, pick this gay bar, and we went. I got there early and was all alone, and I felt a little uncomfortable. I kept sort of checking behind me, like, hey, who's behind me? I think it was all pretty good that way.
Listen to you, Pete.
I don't think he met anyone in graduate school in our department that he had a relationship with. But here's the deal. Tim is coming from it from the standpoint where it was all guys.
Sir Hunt.
They knew what the expectations were. They were all business. As soon as you introduce a perturbation to any system, you will change other variables.
Oh, my God. Did you just use, what was that, fluid dynamics? What was that?
No, just systems, a systems approach. You can use a systems approach to talk about romantic love if you want.
Which is why that guy looks the way
he
does.
So he's absolutely right. Did it provide a small distraction where you mix the genders? Absolutely. There are studies that will illustrate. But think of the benefits that far outweigh those minor distractions. And that is...
Let's not even do that. Let's point out the fact that he's calling it trouble.
Yes.
That you live in a world
not a
where
trouble.
You fall in
it's
love
simply,
with people.
People fall in love, but the benefit is to get women in there. You're tapping the other half of your workforce that you have not tapped. So you get other brilliant insights from that group of people. Plus, diversity is its own reward. I hate these people that, well, we should have diversity. Why? Because I think diversity is an inherent good, but you should have diversity because just the diverse viewpoints from different people who come from different places will help you with scientific innovation, entrepreneurship, all these things that are important to me here. So trust me, I have done workshops with groups of people. Women do it extremely well when you do an improv workshop with, we did one with the Society of Women Engineers to look at new ideas. And I when I traveled to the Middle East, particularly Saudi Arabia, where literally they have cut half of their workforce out of contributing.
Where this trouble that you fall in love with them and they fall in love with you is institutionalized as a thing to avoid, right? You you don't allow women to be around, you know, as just people that you can talk to, right? Isn't that Sharia law? Is Sharia in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, exactly. They you can basically see any movie you can imagine over there. I'll never forget the first time I went there. I was at some hotel and I turned on sort of the equivalent of Showtime, right? I think it's actually related to Showtime.
Are you about to gross me out?
Yes. And there was some movie where, who's the guy that played Capote, who recently took his own life?
Philip Seymour Hoffman. He didn't kill himself. He OD'd.
He OD'd, which is a tragedy because I think he's a very talented actor. There was a scene where he was having sex with Marissa Tomei.
Ah, yeah, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Oh, is that the movie?
That movie opens with a really raucous sex scene.
It was. I was kind of like, whoa, hey, oh. I mean, I was a little embarrassed.
And then, spoiler alert, pretty much everybody's dead by the end.
Okay, all right.
Actually, that's not true. A lot of people are dead by the end.
So, I mean, there are movies like that that are on regular cable TV, and you can get DVDs of most movies you can in the West, but you simply cannot see them together in a cinema because they don't want anyone necking in the back row or making out or conceiving children or whatever it is. They're afraid they're going to do it.
Oh, boy.
He's absolutely right. That is
an issue. You got to stop saying that. You're going to start saying Tim Hunt is right.
Tim Hunt's wrong because he called
trouble.
It a problem.
Right.
It's
not
it's
trouble.
It's not trouble.
And also, it's not about, I mean, it's so specific to, you know, when women are around me, these things happen.
Okay, he's a dingus. That's really all I can say.
He's beyond a dingus, right? I mean, what he's done is a thing that I even myself find myself doing. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. God, I cannot talk today, and I apologize. I take things that are my particular response to the world at certain times, mm-hmm. and finally I'm like, okay, you know what? I've figured out how the world works, and then I think that that's how things are. Mm-hmm. And this guy thinks that he's laying out truth. He thinks that he's explaining what the world is like yeah. and what we're trying to stop from happening. Yeah. As opposed to saying, you know what? I had a very rarefied atmosphere sexually and gender-wise when I was working as a young man. And I liked it. I preferred not having to think about the women in the office. That's what he said. What if you said, you know, the trouble with girls, when girls are in the world, you fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and if you criticize them, they cry. If that's what you say.
Actually, I know a lot of guys that cry when they get criticized, too.
I cry when I'm criticized all the time, especially if it's by a woman. No, that's a joke. I just cry.
I cry at the movies a lot, though.
I cry at
you show me Kramer versus Kramer,
ads
man.
Now, man.
Oh yeah, those commercials sometimes.
You know, I was watching Daredevil, cried. What the hell? And not
really?
The movie, but the Netflix show. Okay. Yeah, because it's all about dads.
Yeah, I can't watch that. In the Arms of an Angel song with the poor dogs. I have to fast forward through it. I can't watch it.
So this guy, I don't know. What is,
okay. He's a dingus.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I have a different view. My view is, so I grew up with that, and it slowly changed as I went through graduate school, and it's slowly changing now. Whatever minor complications you have by mixing of genders and social complications that may come about via that are far outweighed by the diversity of thought and viewpoint in contributing to innovation in the sciences or any field. Ironically, I looked up gender inequality, and it all pointed to the sciences and engineering. I looked up gender equality in humanities, couldn't find diddly squat.
No one ever says, you know what happens when you let girls into the library? They fall in love with you, you fall in love with them.
Actually, you are pushing back gender barriers.
No, I'm not doing anything
of
the sort.
But 30 years ago, librarians, there were more women than men.
There are still more women than men.
Okay.
So it was...
You're a rule breaker.
No, hold on a minute, right? Like, Dewey, like for a while, librarians were all men. It was sexist as anything.
Yeah. When the leadership is dominated by
and
women,
it was,
that is the issue.
What was it, the 40s and 50s? Yeah. There was also the whole... I think school teachers have always been... No, that's not true either. But school teachers were women, majority women, right?
When several decades ago.
When it was small towns.
Do you know why, though?
Why?
Well, think about it. Let's go to Mad Men days, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at Mad Men because people can relate to that. Even my daughter can't because she saw it right there on the television screen. Jobs were not as accessible to women.
Right.
A few of the jobs that were very accessible to women were nurses and teachers. And here's the deal. All these people that complain that, oh, well, education isn't what it used to be. Do you know why your elementary and part of your middle school and high school education was so good 30, 40 years ago?
Why was it?
Because you had women who couldn't find other jobs as director of the science lab
right.
or CEO teaching school. You had these brilliant women who were capable of changing the world, who were sharing that viewpoint and that intelligence with fifth graders. And then, now that we've changed things, women are doing what they rightfully should do. They should be running companies and things like that and you know, changing the world. So now we don't have all these brilliant women. It's a sad thing. It's one where discrimination gave us a little benefit in one area. But... yeah, fixing education, that's a totally
yeah,
different thing.
Let's leave that alone. There was a moment in time, a historical moment, when book learning and shushing people became feminized in people's minds.
Yeah.
That's
a bad stereotype.
It became gendered, and so now school marms and librarians were spinsters, right? But... that was not how it did not start that
there
way.
There was a time where we used that word and it was socially acceptable.
Spinster.
It's just, oh my God. Oh, do you know what show you have to watch?
Isn't spinster male and female?
Well, it should be male and female, because we all know that one guy who's not married and is never going to get married either.
I feel like,
because he's a little weird.
The technical definition, you know, that it's actually, it's
you're
degendered.
Big on definitions. You should check it out. Well, if it's degendered, that's good. I don't think it's used in a degendered fashion. What's the movie, the show my wife really loves, and I do watch it occasionally. It's quite good. Is it Call the Midwife?
I don't know.
Excellent show. I believe it's produced in England. It occurs in England. And there was a woman who said, well, no, I'm just a spinster. And she just said it matter-of-factly.
I'm wrong. It is gendered.
Yeah. I think it's quite gendered, even if it's not in its
spinster
denotated
and bachelor.
Edition.
Hmm.
Yeah, so bachelor sounds, hey, I'm a cool dude. Spinster does not sound good. I guess we could say bachelorette now. That sounds, you know, more upbeat.
Yeah, but even that's confused. Like, because the bachelor and the bachelorette is bachelorette party, that kind of thing. Like, you're supposed to, well, anyway, enough of that.
Okay.
So you fall in love with them and they fall in love with you. Again, that's
going to happen. That's biology. What are we complaining about that for?
And also to say that you can't handle the distraction of humanity,
right?
That's right. That's pretty weak sauce.
Like I said,
that is doll hands weak
minor
sauce.
Right? He calls it a distraction. A distraction is by definition a minor thing.
I tell you, my soul is cracked because my work and my personal life are too divided. You know, because there's that division.
Are you talking about work-life balance?
I'm not even talking about work-life balance, because I think that's assuming that the, you know, your work world is separate from your personal life. And then
perhaps
you've got
work-life integration is the term we should use.
Yeah, just more of a sense that I'm still me when I come to work. You know?
Right.
Anyway,
I can agree more.
I'm boring
and
you.
So that is one of the complaints that male chauvinist pigs have about women, that they've constantly wanted a better work-life balance, mainly because
they're just distracting to me.
Because
and
women,
so we must stop them from doing this stuff.
Stereotypically,
maybe he should leave the lab.
Got the shaft when it came to child-rearing duties. Who does more of the child-rearing in your house?
Oh, come on, man.
What?
Do we have to go there?
Well, here's what we need to do. You know, I'm staring at this European Union 178-page report, and actually some of their recommendations are along these lines. We need to fix the work-life balance. Women were right all the time, and now I'm going to tell the dirty little secret. Men would like that, too. Men would like a better work-life balance. We should all have a better work-life balance, and women were right all the time. That's what I'm saying.
Nicely done.
No more should we have professions in which you brag about how long you spent time isolated in your lab without showering away from your family. That's bad. And much of academics and science is that way. And the worst offenders are the medical, the doctor, MD education system, this on-call crap and these interns.
I'm going to slap a label on that,
wrong.
And then we're going to move on.
You're good on labels.
Even though the label will not
be
enough.
Will it be a cool acronym?
No.
Damn it.
This, what you're talking about, the whole, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 hour week, right? We're talking about man or people's search for meaning. Mm-hmm. You know, when your life is without meaning, you must define it by some kind of narrative. And your work can be a narrative that you use.
Right.
So those people are trying to stave off their fear of death.
Yeah.
Okay. When you criticize them, they cry. That is his third, that's Sir Tim Hunt's third objection to women in the lab. What do you think of that?
You know, I don't know what to tell you. I have no empirical evidence to suggest that occurs more in women than men. I had a female academic colleague who said she can make most of her guy students cry.
I've never been in the presence of a woman who wasn't part of my family or a romantic partner crying.
I have some students cry in my office. But I've had male students cry in my office, too. I don't remember exactly what the split is, so.
Yeah.
All I know is
It doesn't ring true in the sense that it makes it sound like his definition of criticize is different from my definition of criticize.
If you bring most mature adult people, and I would consider even an 18, 19-year-old undergraduate student, a mature adult person, a young adult, to the point of tears, you probably did something wrong.
Yeah. And we were just talking now about, like, I since the birth of my children, certainly, you know, Lila Jane is my daughter, who is coming up on 3 years old, and now the twins. So, like, my house is full of kids now. Since then, I've noticed that anything will make me cry, and I'm ready to go at any moment, you know?
So your house is just one giant, like, AT&T commercial. Those ones back, like, in the 80s
that used sounds to make me cry. Right, but it's been so long since I saw one.
That's right. I haven't called my brother in a month. You know, that kind of thing.
I'm just saying, like, again, back to Daredevil, you know, I was alone in the house for a little while. I had a week to myself. That's why I was eating all that Percocet so I could sleep. I was watching Daredevil.
You washed it down with a lot of nachos, too, I bet.
I did. But the Marvel's Daredevil, the show on Netflix, you know, there are several scenes where dads are affecting their children in some way. They're giving them life lessons, or they're sort of directing their future. Our hero and our villain are both defined in many ways by their father, you know. And just waterworks, you know, just sobbing on the couch, watching fathers and sons relate to each other in difficult, violent ways. I'm like, okay, so this is a show where, you know, the last 7 minutes of one episode is a
preview to the next.
An uncut long shot of a guy beating up like 10 people.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I didn't watch this show.
Didn't cry for that one until he gets to the end, and he said, spoiler alert, he gets to the end and he takes his mask off so he can say to the kidnapped child, I know you're scared, but you don't have to be scared now. We're going to walk away. Like, boom, waterworks. You know, like all this stuff. And I am just ready to go whenever it comes down to stuff about parenting or stuff about raising children, right? That's my place where I will cry.
Okay.
There are other things that will make other people cry that will not make me cry.
That's okay. You can choose what makes you cry.
Can you?
I believe it's a free country, and you can.
But what is very true is that strong emotions are not a problem. And crying in response to something...
Yeah. I don't give a crap.
...is biological.
Yeah.
You know? And Sir Tim Hunt is a complete asshole.
I concur.
Let's record another outro.
Okay.
Concilies with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities. Why? This feels so fake.
Do it anyway.
Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Bennett Radio and Pete Ludovus.
Or you can find us on the back porch of Rocky Mountain Pizza in Midtown Atlanta drinking cheap beer.